Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Samara Rosenfeld, and I am the Associate Editor of CHE. Today, I will be joined over Zoom by Brian Whaling, Assistant Vice President of Telehealth Services at Intermountain Healthcare. We will discuss a partnership between the health system and Amwell, how Intermountain is leveraging Amwell's technology along with other digital health tools, and how other healthcare executives can deploy such technologies at their hospital or health system. Thank you so much, Brian, for joining me today. Can you start by telling the audience about your position at Intermountain?
Yes, good day. My name is Brian Whaling. I'm the Executive Director for Technology and Development at Intermountain Healthcare, which is based in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Recently, there was news about a partnership between Intermountain and Amwell. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Intermountain Healthcare and telehealth services have been partnering with Amwell for multiple years, about 6 years now, first with their home product and then most recently with their hospital platform. Which we are in the process of deploying to all of our locations. Recently, we expanded that partnership to include some hardware development, which includes the TV kit or hospital TV kit for installations in patient rooms. This is a great opportunity for us to be able to continue expanding our technology in partnership with Amwell, and that facilitates their software for our clinical and patient workflow.
So what is the TV kit?
The TV kit is based upon the ability for patients in a hospital room to receive telehealth care without the deployment of a cart. The TV kit includes it'd be the typical TV or smart TV that's in the patient room, a pan-tilt zoom camera, a directional microphone and speaker, obviously a computer, plus some additional features like a blink light that allows a notification goes to the patient and or local caregiver that the telehealth encounter is about to begin. And collectively, the technology allows for a telehealth encounter into the patient room without, again, the encumbrance of moving in a telehealth cart or other technology.
What is the importance of being able to use telehealth while in the hospital itself?
Great question. The opportunity is multiple. We use the TV kit in multiple ways. And a prime example where we started actually is the critical care service. This allows us to have a dedicated critical care team. Currently, there's about 35 individuals, MDs, nurses, APCs, pharmacists, that provide 24/7 coverage into our rural communities for critical care services. Obviously, we have stroke, hospitalists, behavioral health, and multiple other services more on the acute care side that really extends out our practitioners into locations that may not be able to afford these services or just don't have enough capacity to meet their demands. So the services within a hospital becomes very beneficial to treat patients where there's just, again, not enough capacity for in-house service, or they just simply don't have those capabilities to begin with.
How else is Intermountain using digital health, especially during the pandemic?
Intermountain has really expanded the use of our telehealth services across the board. We started off with telehealth services about 7 years ago now, expanding with our acute care services, as I mentioned, to all of our hospitals, of which we have 23 hospitals and about 200 clinics. Over that time frame, we've also added a direct consumer platform, the Amwell hospital, the home platform. And I mention that because I think we're well poised for when COVID hit during the pandemic to rapidly expand our capabilities, not only for technology, but most importantly, the administrative infrastructure in the back end. We had electronic consents. We had the practice and training of our clinicians were ready to go with their training. They were comfortable using telehealth services across our institution for multiple services. And as the pandemic hit and our practitioners and patients wanted to provide care from home and access care from our patients' homes, we naturally expanded out. We added a lot of endpoints or care points for our services, even though we do have 1,200 currently. And that allowed multiple services to really help our patients. The big expansion that Intermountain had during the pandemic was the expansion to primary care, behavioral health, and other outpatient services. To date, the adoption was moving along very positively, but not to the extent that we've seen in the last 12 months now. And so as a result of the pandemic, we've seen absolutely incredible growth to the point where we've had the most recent data that I've seen was about 80% of our behavioral health services are being done through telehealth at this time. And there are multiple other family practice, internal medicine, et cetera, are all taking advantage of telehealth services to reach their patients safely.
You touched on this briefly. You mentioned that, you know, your providers are trained in using this technology. Do you have them help? Like, do you go to mm-hmm. them and tell them about the technology before implementing it?
Yes, we engage with the clinical programs extensively as we develop our programs. So we always bring upon, we always work with clinical leaders to ensure that there's a good sense of the workflows. We don't want to assume that we understand their nuances by any means. So as we set up a new clinical program or modify an existing clinical program that's using telehealth services, as I mentioned, we will engage all facets of the program and the individuals to take that leadership role. Once those workflows are established, we then confirm it with other people, other clinicians and the technology, of course. But then we start deploying it and we work with the individual clinicians for training, not only the clinicians themselves, but thinking of it as the entire office workflow for the people at the front desk, the nurses, the MAs, other people that are involved that might be available to help patients receive their care more expediently. We ensure that all those individuals are aware of the technology and are trained on it. We also discovered during our deployment, I think like many other sites, that there's obviously two sides of the coin. Meaning that as we were setting up our services initially, we had a lot of challenges, not only internally and making sure all the pieces were aligned, but also we wanted to work with our patients to ensure that they felt comfortable with the technology. We established some training protocols and some practice models too, with a PSR, patient safety rep, to reach out between the clinical office and the patient and to make sure that both sides were ready for the digital or telehealth encounter. This was important, at least early on, it helped us iron out the bugs. Most importantly, to understand the challenges that some of our patients were having with the technology and also with the clinicians, the caregivers. Ultimately, as time progressed, MWell really resolved a lot of those usability issues, and the workflows and the interfaces have become a lot simpler over the last year. We still are available to help our caregivers, obviously make sure that they're fully trained and comfortable with the technology. But we also spend time with our patients, and those could be a host of challenges. It could be that it could be their platform. Their personal device may not be 100% compatible. Do they have the right browser? Is the browser up to date, et cetera? Are they comfortable getting registered, et cetera? The recent software from Amwell has simplified all those processes. Now the clinical teams can send out a link. And as a patient, I would just click on that link and be entered right into that room. Because it's a pre-existing relationship with my provider, that information is already available and as pre-populated into the application. So there's no downloading of an app at this time. It's all WebRTC for the camera controls, et cetera, for the camera, excuse me. And we want to make sure that, again, the patient experience is as seamless as possible.
Do you find that that's your biggest challenge is the buy-in from the patients and the caregivers?
I think there's a multitude of challenges that we continue to face as we evolve the service. Some of the challenges that we've been facing have been rapidly resolved over this last year. And now the whole process of receiving a telehealth visit has been simplified considerably. Patients have really come to appreciate the value of telehealth services. It's not obviously for all visits, but it's very helpful for a lot of cases, including chronic disease management, follow-up, et cetera. And it's provided a lot of direct comfort for our patients. On our caregiver side, they've also discovered that telehealth can offer a safe, viable, and useful delivery mechanism. So while there's some initial hesitancy, I would say, with various caregivers, perhaps it was just simply the time. Everybody is so busy trying to go through the practice and learning how to do an appropriate telehealth visit. The caregivers have really picked it up and been stellar for us on the adoption rate. I think as the pandemic has by no means wound down, but it's more comfortable for patients to come back into the office for a visit. Our challenge, like everybody else's, will be how do we remain engaged with our caregivers and our patients to continue to offer telehealth as a viable solution when appropriate. And so we don't want to see those, again, where it's possible, we don't want to see the slippage of utilization go back down substantially and to have our patients come in unnecessarily for visits, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any advice for other execs in similar positions looking to expand their health systems technology offerings?
It's a great question. One of the advantages, I'd go back to Intermountain Telehealth Services, is that we've been centralized as a centralized entity, a standalone centralized entity over the years. This helped us set up our platform, our governance, and our administrative functions, project functions, very holistically across the organization. As I look around the industry and at my colleagues, I see a lot of groups have centralized, but there are still some organizations that remain decentralized. There's advantages to that, of course, perhaps a little bit more rapid response to some of the needs, understanding the use cases more intimately, et cetera. But the disadvantage is you could end up with a diversity of technology, both on the software and hardware side. As telehealth continues to expand and improve, that in of itself would lead to interchange challenges and comfort level between caregivers. We have, for example, we have caregivers like infectious disease that move from our acute care platform, the hospital platform, to the home platform. And because it's essentially the same workflow at this point, it's very seamless for them to go back and forth. If you have different technology and platforms, there'll be challenges for those workflows and for those individuals. Again, increasing the burden for them. That'd be one aspect. Another aspect I'd consider right now is that we've been fortunate with the telehealth waivers that have allowed, one, the payment obviously has been very important for all of us, but two, the ability to practice across state lines. We're just not sure when those waivers are going to go away, however, and we don't want to be lulled into a false sense of security of continuing to provide care to our patients that are in multiple states, whether it's for where they live or because they're traveling, without the proper licensure. Intermountain Healthcare Telehealth Services, we have been continuing to pursue our licensing aspect very consistently to ensure that where our practitioners, our caregivers are interested and want to and have patients in non-Utah locations, we will get them licensed so they can continue those practices past the waivers. That would be another aspect that's going to be very important as we go forward. Again, the waivers could be turned off at any moment, and we don't want to disrupt our patient care. So the technology is important to be very consistent there, to take a look at the waivers and other regulatory aspects and administrative aspects as well, to ensure that those practices are in place, and whether it's for licensing, credentialing, payment, et cetera, continue to evaluate those. We are, as another example, we are looking at our consent and ensuring that our consent is consistent wherever possible across all of the platforms, and have the consent practice as simple as possible. So again, as an example, some states for us vary. There's Utah just changed the consent law where it now can be once a year. And we don't have to verify it at every visit and receive the consent at every visit. As opposed to Nevada, and that's just simply once a year. You sign up as part of your as a patient. You provide consent that I can receive services through telehealth if that's a delivery mechanism, and it's never brought up again. So we have to be continually conscious of all of those aspects as well. So as telehealth has evolved forward a lot, there's still a lot of back-end processes to be concerned around and to make sure that those are handled consistently across the individual organization.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about Intermountain's offerings or its work with Amwell?
Our work with Amwell has been great, honestly. As I mentioned, we started off with the direct consumer, the home platform, multiple years. Our service, Connect Care, was really the foundation for our partnership, and has continued to provide care, you know, allowed us to provide care to hundreds of thousands of patients throughout the course of the last 5 years. As Amwell has continued to evolve with their home platform and most recently, obviously, with their hospital platform, we're very happy with the progress that they're making in moving towards a consistent experience for their users. And again, the users being the caregivers and the patient, and simplifying the experience overall. Yeah, their infrastructure has been very stable, which has gone a long ways. I think we all had the initial burst and challenges at the beginning of the pandemic, where the growth was absolutely unprecedented. And we wanted to make sure that we continue to have the ability and flexibility for that growth. So as a result, Amwell's partnership with us is very important. We see the importance of it going forward and look forward to some of their new features and functionalities that they continue to bring to the marketplace.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us at Chief Healthcare Executive, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Samara Rosenfeld.